Good morning. 7:48 a.m. on Monday, February the 20th, 2017. It's a gorgeous morning. Holy cow. Couple cleansing breaths. It's beautiful, clear blue sky. Sun is up. It's 40 degrees, so it's a little chilly, but it's not freezing, literally or figuratively. I've got a lot on my plate today. I've already done couple chores. I've already had breakfast. I've had a cup of coffee. I've had a pastry. It was not a big prep day for breakfast for me today. It was a 2-day-old stale pastry. But I don't have time to make and cook and putter and crap today. I had to take the kid to work at 7:30. I parked the car and started my walk. I've got to get back in time to get cleaned up and go to therapy at the top of the next hour. So I should have plenty of time to get this posted before I go. I'll use up an hour of the morning over there. And I've got to get back and get some writing done because I turned off the music this morning. I've turned off a lot of things today. I've turned off I'm pretty much turning off social media. At least public timeline stuff. I dip my toes in once in a while, but I'm working very hard at not responding. It's an interesting problem for the United States, the world really. And that's the death of journalism. There's still people who do journalism. But the problem is that it's like a lot of industries. It's no longer being run by the people who understand the business. It's being run by people who are answerable to shareholders, not customers. Customers are seen as a means to an end. And so there's a reason, there's a really good reason why journalism, in particular, has had a couple of decades of erosion. There are still people who do good journalism. There are still good conservative journalists. There are still good liberal journalists. We don't get to see them very often. But they're still out there. But Facebook journalism isn't helpful. It's an echo chamber for the loudest voices. And the loudest voices aren't always the most thoughtful voices. So I'm going to be, I'll still hang out in the Facebook groups. I'll still hang out in the places where people expect to see me. But I've come to the conclusion that over the last, a couple weeks, I've spent way too much time arguing for a rational approach to people who are responding emotionally to situations. And, this is something, it's one of my many mantras. You can't answer emotion with logic. It doesn't work. And I need to actually adopt that as a guiding principle for my own actions as much as anything. So yeah, we got to deal with that. Which actually is a good thing, because it means I'm bored with pretty much all the things that have been distracting me lately. Oh, I'm bored. So, what that means is that I've got nothing else to do but write. And now I actually have to go through and do that. So, I'm quietly, cautiously optimistic. I've actually taken some notes. I have a paper, a pad of paper, a little spiral top-bound grocery list pad of paper in my pocket. And I've actually taken some notes this morning about things that I see that are causing problems, and things that I see that are potential developments going forward for the book. A couple of things that struck me just this morning, and it's ridiculous that it would have just hit me now, but the truth is I just needed time to percolate. I just needed time for the ideas to grow in. I'm having difficulty with distraction. I am having trouble keeping track of thoughts from moment to moment. I was thinking about something as I was walking along, and then I went to say something about it, and I couldn't remember what it was. Which is a normal part of my life. It's been that way as long as I can remember. And I really can remember quite a long way. As I was thinking, we're having a discussion about social media over on Science Fiction Writers of America. And I don't think I'm telling any tales out of school. By saying we're having a discussion on social media. And I had an email this morning from somebody who was lurking on the sidelines of that conversation, and talking about whether or not, or how I use social media, or did I think social media was still important? And yeah, I do. Part of it has to do with my definition of social media, which is a lot more rigorous and a lot broader than most people. And I think part of it, so one of the things that I realized this morning was that I have to rely on social media. It's the root. So it's an interesting question. When I started, there weren't options like a BookBub. There weren't options like, you know, having a public list where you submit your ad, you submit your book, and their list helps to populate your list. So I had to build it on social media. Monk post. I'm talking softly, I'm walking slowly because there's a couple that are ahead of me walking along. I don't want to intrude on them. There's no question that BookBub can help give a list a shot in the arm. But it really pays best when you've got a backlist that can, once you've got their attention, you can, you know, once you've got the reader's attention, you have other things to offer them. So you're amortizing the cost across more than one title. But looking at how does a new author find audience, and my answer is still backlist. And that's a difficult part, because writing a book, especially the first couple, three or four, is a big investment. And particularly if you're actually investing cash to do editing, to do covers, to do the things you really do need to do. Although you don't need to do them to the degree that the purists would have. Particularly for the first book, because the first book is going to suck. Quarter share for all of that. Everybody loves it. Oh yes, this is still my favorite. Boy, there's a lot wrong with that book. And maybe it's the things that are wrong with it that resonate with people. Maybe it's the... maybe it's the way that it violates the conventions that trumps any kind of structural problems. There's no... Typically, in Western literature, there are three acts. And they break at about 25% is the first act. And the middle 50% is the second act. And the last act is the last quarter, the last 25%. Quarter share is almost all act two. There's the first chapter. Chapter, is it first, maybe first two chapters? When second act starts when Ishmael joins the crew of the Lois. And it ends with the formation of the McKendrick Mercantile Exchange, which is really only in the last 5,000 words, maybe. So the book is actually the second act. The entire book takes place in what would be structurally the second act. And I don't have the necessary try-fail cycles, or at least I don't tell the story of the fails. Ishmael doesn't tell the story of the fails. He doesn't tell about having his bunk short-sheeted, or having... Well, he does have a lot of pranks played on him, but mostly it's from Pip. And I don't really, the truth is, I don't really apply the three-act structure. I write the story, and I look back at it and say, oh yeah, here we go. Here's the inciting incident. Here's the denouement. They're not things that I write. You know, it's like, okay, now I have to start this part. Now I have to start that part. I just write it. And in hindsight, can look back and see, oh yeah, here it is. There's the part there. There's this part here. Okay, this sort of works. Now, I don't usually, you know, I don't use this story architecture kind of idea. I don't use story physics. I don't know that it would necessarily hurt the books. I don't know that it would necessarily help the books. Trying to write stories that are more approachable, that are more recognizable to a wider audience, without sacrificing the crux, without sacrificing the core values of my stories. It's like Wiley said the other day, I can imagine writing a story like those. I couldn't imagine how it was even possible. And I can't imagine writing them any other way. Which is, I think I said this yesterday, wow, history does repeat. Anyway, so yeah, I turned off the music. I was thinking about Ishmael Huang and the book and the story and the line. And why isn't it bubbling along? I'm 70,000 words into this thing. It should be dragging me through. It should be blotting any other consideration of any other thing out of my brain. And the truth is, it doesn't. And that's a problem. It's a problem I need to address, which is probably what I've been doing. Building undersea bases in Subnautica. Running mindless operations in EVE Online. But maybe I've stuck a fingernail under the edge of the problem. I don't know that I've necessarily pried it up yet, but I had some insights into what I wanted from this series in terms of Ishmael's healing and what I've actually got in terms of Ishmael's healing. And I think there's a dichotomy, there's a breakdown, there's a distance between what I want for this story and what I've got for this story. Which isn't to say I'm going to throw this story out, but it does sort of indicate that what I need to do is I'm at a point where I could, we're actually adjusting, having a serious adjustment to the storyline, to Ishmael, to the whole way the story is unfolding right now. Makes a certain amount of sense, and I think I've got the pieces in place to do at least something like that. So I'm kind of excited to get to it to try to find out whether or not I'm right. Yay. But in the meantime, here I am at the back gate. Tomorrow's another day. And with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.